And I think we're recording. Guess we'll find out.
See recording.
Okay, cool. Everybody, thank you very much for tuning into this video. This is going to be Alex Hillman, the co-founder of Indie Hall here in Philadelphia. One of, if I'm not mistaken, one of the very first co-working spaces in Philly.
We were the first in Philadelphia. One of the first in the world, in fact, way back in 2006.
I didn't realize it was like that
years,
expansive.
Yeah, it's been a long time. I'm a dinosaur in the scope of the co-working industry.
Well, Alex and I had the opportunity and I had the pleasure of working with Alex many years ago when I was with the Philadelphia Business Journal, when we ran our social media summer camp back when that was still new. And he gave an absolutely fantastic presentation. But more recently, he has written Tiny MBA, or The Tiny MBA, right? The, don't
want to miss that's that. Right.
And which was just released on August 26. He wrote an interesting article about that whole experience, and which is kind of what prompted this conversation. So, but before we get into that, Alex, is this your first book?
This is the first book I completed. Yeah. we were talking before we came on. You've seen lots of authors start and not finish, or mm-hmm. publish things that maybe needed a little more work along the way. I can point to two other distinct efforts to write a book that didn't get finished. And having finished this one, I now have some ideas about why that might be. But this is the first book that I actually took across the finish line. I've written lots of things, and I teach courses online, and mm-hmm. I'm not a stranger to publishing things on the internet and asking people to buy them. But a book is a tricky beast, Brian, and it feels pretty good to finally have one out in the world.
That's pretty awesome. How long did it take you to write it, just out of curiosity? The moment where you said, I want to write this book, to publishing date?
Well, the honest answer there is I didn't know I was writing a book when I started writing this book. This book started a few days before Christmas 2019.
Okay.
And then launched on the actual pre-orders started the very end of July 2020. Mm-hmm. So, what is that, 7 months or so?
Okay.
But when I sat down to write the book, and this is part of why I struggled with the past books, was, mm-hmm. You have an idea in your head of what a book is or should be or what it needs to accomplish, which is its own kind of weight and gravity, I think, for a lot of folks, whether it's fiction or nonfiction. Obviously, this being nonfiction is its own set of sort of strengths and weaknesses. But what I actually started was a thread on Twitter as a response to a challenge to write down opinions, perspectives, lessons, and advice on an area of expertise that you have. The way it was framed was also kind of playful and viral. It was basically, the challenge was post a first post on Twitter that says, I will write one short one of those things for every like that this post gets. So it's meant to kind of generate some virality, some built-in marketing for the idea. And so I capped mine at 100. For up to 100 likes, I would write 100 things. And I quickly learned that the 280 character constraint of Twitter actually ended up being a really interesting and powerful tool for forming my thoughts and working in public. And then when I finished and working in public, having sort of an instant feedback loop compared to getting lost in your thoughts and ideas, writing for many months or years, then publishing and hoping people want and like it. I knew instantly that people were digging this stuff. But what made me consider even a book was that almost 2 months later, after going on vacation and turning off my phone, I came back and there were still likes, replies, and retweets from that thread, people saying how helpful it was, and either one specific lesson or a whole collection of them or a particular theme, and just seeing people's responses. And I sort of said offhanded, maybe I should turn this into a book. And then things really blew up. So from February or so, end of January, beginning of February to July was where the effort in earnest turned from, what do I do to turn this compendium of tweets, quite literally, it was a Twitter thread, still is a Twitter thread, into the packaging of a book, but also what else does it need to really accomplish being a book in terms of being something that people will buy, it's something that people will read and use, marketing plan, launch plan, who are the people I need involved, who's going to write the foreword, where are we going to sell it, how are we going to sell it. My partner and I have, like I said, she wrote a book, we self-published a book that she wrote 6 years ago, I want to say, mm-hmm. and still does quite well. But we never did it as a print book. So we've only ever done digital distribution through our own channels, you know, selling a PDF, basically. I had a pretty strong feeling that I wanted this to be something that could sit on someone's desk or bookshelf, or as people have told me, it's now next to it's next to the sink in their bathrooms. It's a bathroom read, which is pretty cool.
That's a good thing.
Yeah. And, you know, that process, if I'm totally honest, took way more time and energy than the actual writing of the book in order mm-hmm. for the book to be successful, which so far I'd go so far as to say it has been.
Yeah, I would absolutely say that with all the pictures that I've seen posted on your Twitter thread and all that. And well, you raise an interesting point there, is that the writing of the book is almost the easy part. It's all the stuff afterwards that's the heavy lifting that is what gets you over the finish line, whatever finish line that is.
Yeah, I hate that's true, but it is true. Mm-hmm. Especially people who are creators, whether you're a writer or whatever your discipline and expertise is, you're like, mm-hmm. this has got to be the hard part, right? Mm-hmm. And it's not to say that it's not hard. And writing 100 tweets was harder than it might sound like it was. Mm-hmm. And we don't have to talk about that today, but I do think that the notion of even when that you somehow get that to be the easy part in order for, and again, what is success for a book is something that I think everyone needs to define for themselves. I wanted a physical book. Mm-hmm. I wanted this to be something that people could hold, and I wanted it to be something that would actually reach people, which from all, you know, I've been running businesses and selling products online for over a decade. I know that you can't just put it on the internet and magically have people show up to buy it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, having that plan built in and going through all those steps and our pre-flight checklist and all that stuff was absolutely more work than the book itself. Yeah.
I think I put something out the other day where it was talking about the creative process, and you look at any creative effort and the actual creation and the vast scheme of it is actually the easy part. When you look at everything else, and that's with making a movie, making music, it's going through endless revision. It's making sure that you've, even if it's only for an audience of one, if you're really trying to make it ready for the bright lights, you know, I think there's a mythology built around creative effort that, you know, Stephen King sits down and pounds out a book and then boom, the book's out in the wild. It's like, no, there was a long
time.
Stephen's
been doing this for years.
Yeah. And he might be better at it.
He can do that.
Yeah, but sure. even now, he's still going to go through a revision process. And, you know, now he's built up enough momentum. But this actually segues into my next question, was what were some of the biggest challenges with the marketing of this? Now, I know that you have a platform that might be bigger than some other indie authors out there. And that's just because, especially in Philadelphia, your name has been ubiquitous with co-working. You know, it's like there's few people in that space or even in the tech space or all that haven't heard your name. So there was already a bit of a following there. You were an early adopter of social media. So you were, you know, so, but what were some of the challenges that you had with marketing this book, because this was essentially a new medium for you?
Yeah. Well, a quick caveat on that. Mm-hmm. I think it's easy to be perceived as bigger than you are when you're, especially in a city like Philadelphia, where yeah. people are connected. Like I said, you and I have even though we've only known each other casually over the years, like mm-hmm. the interconnectedness makes it feel even smaller than it seems. The advantages that I have, though, that you are right about, is time. It's not that I've just been public, it's that I've been doing it for a while. So, mm-hmm. you know, in a lot of ways, I'd say, like, you know, the best time to start is 10 years ago. The second best time is today. Mm-hmm. It's true. So, you know, having an email list of people who know your writing from blogging, from social media, from TikTok, like, I don't care what the medium is, like, wherever the people who you want to read your stuff are, you got to be where they are. Mm-hmm. And I've been those places for a decade. Co-working has been one of them, but I'd also say it's actually the smaller of the spheres mm-hmm. in the grand scheme of things. Now, all of that being said, you know, I've got the platform of an email address, of an email list. Again, probably the most valuable tool that we have for self-distribution mm-hmm. of something like a book. Challenges for marketing for us are reaching beyond the people that we already know how to reach. right? Mm-hmm. So for the independent creator who is, you know, the designer developer, actually we're way better at reaching designers and developers just because that is mine and my partner's background. So a lot mm-hmm. of the stuff that we write on our main website, Stacking the Bricks, is a business website geared towards creative people. But even that, if you look at it and you are a developer or a designer, it's going to resonate with you even more. If you're not, there's some terminology and things that it's not going to ruin it for you, but you might go, wait, it's talking about something else for a second. Mm-hmm. So we're really good at that. But again, what's cool about a book is, and people just buy books in a different way, and it's a bit more of an impulse buy. This is mm-hmm. an entry-level priced product for us. Our products that we sell are normally, you know, at the $20, hundreds of dollars, a couple thousand dollars for, mm-hmm. you know, sort of our flagship force and stuff like that. But to have a $10, even a, you know, an $8 ebook out into mm-hmm. the world is exciting because it gives us a way to put our ideas in the hands of people that don't already know who we are. Mm-hmm. The book, I think one of the cool things about this book in particular is I think it's a really giftable book. Mm-hmm. Not just because of the price, but because it's a short read. And mm-hmm. how many times do you give a friend who, you know, just graduated from school and they're going to start a business, you want to give them a business book and they open it and it's 400 pages and they're mm-hmm. like, thanks, subtext, never going to read it. So the pitch here is like, yo, this is useful and you can read it in 30 minutes. I think it will actually get read. So the mm-hmm. question is, how do we get this in the hands of people that don't already know about it? The gifting experience is something that we, you know, the book has only really been out for a month. Mm-hmm. We have not seen I've had people buy a bundle of 20 books. So we put that on the website. Mm-hmm. Buying for gifts, we give discounts for, you know, 10 or more copies. Mm-hmm. And some things like that. But one of the big opportunities that we had not yet experimented with was Amazon. And I was like, well, if we're going to go through all the trouble to create a print and a digital, I may as well also get the files made to get it on Amazon and mm-hmm. learn that process and go through KDP. And again, the good news here is I wasn't going to rely on KDP, but what I know from marketing in general and platforms like this is they're run by algorithms and the algorithms are there to recommend stuff. And the algorithms are going to recommend stuff that's already being sold. Mm-hmm. That's why they've got like the rankings and the leaderboards and stuff like that. And so I know that if I can send when I launch to my email list, I can say, hey, come buy the book. It's available. You can buy it directly from me, get a paperback. You could buy an ebook from me. But if you want it on your Kindle device or app on your phone or iPad or whatever it is, mm-hmm. You can also buy it directly through Kindle. Now, I specifically made the decision to not do the print book through KDP. The biggest reason is because when you're selling through KDP, whether it's print or digital, mm-hmm. those aren't your customers. They're Amazon's customers. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And the customer gets your book, but they're not your customers. Mm-hmm. And for some people, I'd say like for things like fiction in particular, mm-hmm. like that's cool. Like they just want their book in as many people's hands as possible.
Yeah.
Personally, and mm-hmm. for our business, I'm much more interested in the relationship with that person, mm-hmm. the ability to reach them as we make improvements or updates to the book, or we learn new things. We tend to do things kind of iteratively. So obviously I can't change a paperback book, but we might do an insert or, mm-hmm. you know, a special event, or I don't even know what it is. Cause again, it's very early. And Amazon doesn't let you contact your customers for any reason whatsoever.
So you can't even do a push through them, like where you just have a message and push it out and they protect the information.
I can't even ask them to send a message.
Hmm. Interesting.
So okay. There's this barrier, you know, there's a trade-off here is like very large potential audience. And I even have a unique advantage of being able to bring our audience to the platform. Mm-hmm. And use the platform the way it's intended, which is if people are buying the book, Amazon will recommend the book to even more people. And we saw it work exactly as intended. Within 24 hours, the book was in the number one spot mm-hmm. in the business, small business category, startup category, entrepreneurship category. And so like they want that because mm-hmm. A, it's going to sell more books. It's going to get you to talk about the book. Now I can put an Amazon bestseller badge on the website. That feels cool. And like, look, it felt awesome. Mm-hmm. To see all of that happen. And also it's a, you know, the customers love reading on their Kindle devices. That's, they're not just buying it because they like me. Mm-hmm. They're buying it because they're excited about the book itself and they want to, you know, sit in their lawn, you know, they're on their front porch or their back deck or at the lake or whatever it is with their Kindle, not their phone, mm-hmm. and have it with them. So, you know, Amazon worked the way it was supposed to, right up until the moment that it didn't.
Mm-hmm. But then, so just quick summary, what explain, and first of all, if you could explain to people what, I may not know what KDP is, and then
sure.
what the big, aside from the one we'll call it an issue, it's not necessarily, it's a choice, right? Of knowing that these are not my customers versus yeah. if yeah. I sell directly, you know, but aside from that, yes, explain a little bit what KDP is, but then what happened
yeah.
that precipitated sure. change?
So Amazon, everybody knows Amazon at this point. It's mm-hmm. hard to not know Amazon. Amazon is a lot of little businesses. And people, a lot of people know about Amazon for its books, and even its books are a lot of different businesses. If you publish a book through a traditional publisher, there is a very, very, very strong chance that what's going to happen is that publisher's going to make some estimations about what they think the book is going to sell for. They're going to go get a bunch of copies printed, and those printed copies are going to be sent to warehouses, including Amazon warehouses, and then Amazon will ship those books out. And in that environment, actually, you do own the customer, which is mm-hmm. interesting. KDP, Kindle Direct Publishing, is this truly kind of amazing tool that allows you to, as an independent author, in all of a few minutes, maybe it's closer to an hour in terms of all the account setup, create an account, verify that you're a real person, you're a real business, give them your tax info, and upload your book's manuscript, upload and have it published as an ebook, have it printed as an printed on demand mm-hmm. as a physical book, or both. And so without a third-party publisher, without getting a book deal, your book is on Amazon. You can send it to your mom and say, look, mom, on Amazon. And you can get Amazon reviews, and you are part of the Amazon recommendation algorithm. In our case, like, again, within a week, I was showing up in the people who bought this book liked this other book for other books. Mm-hmm. So books that are really popular, my book was showing up next to, because I already had generated those sales and they had enough data to recommend the algorithm. So that's KDP in a nutshell. Mm-hmm. It is, like many Amazon tools, like a pretty clumsy, kind of confusing experience. I did a lot of research, mostly on YouTube, to see what people who have done a lot of this before, what do they recommend? What are the pitfalls? It's like, I didn't go into this blind. I did my homework. Mm-hmm. And I to a degree, knew about the advantages and the disadvantages and the trade-offs going into it.
So you... Again, we're just to kind of summarize what had happened. What was it that precipitated you saying? Because for the average, I would imagine for the average author out there, you know, they're thinking, "Hey, there's a lot of headaches. There's a lot of headaches, but like you said, my book will be on Amazon and people can buy it. The print on demand is nice because it's like I don't have to worry about being out of pocket and buying, because essentially that's what you do. You, if you wanted to self-publish and have it in physical media, you would actually pay for all these and books to be made, and you'd have them sitting there in your office or garage, hoping that one day you sell them. Otherwise, it's just you have a bunch of books, and turns out you have Christmas gifts for the next 3 years. But so I could see where that would be, hey, this is, yeah, I'll do it. And it's okay. I'll give up the money. I'll give up this. I'll give up that. But, and so for someone, I imagine the average independent author, if they had read that headline where you had said, we are no longer selling on Amazon, the day that the book was supposed to be released, it wasn't even like it was a month later. You were like, nope, we're done. They would think you are insane. But then you go and read the, blog post. So what had happened there that made you make that decision and say, you know what, I'm going to forego Amazon in order to do this, sell directly through our website?
Yeah. So one more piece of important context mm-hmm. before I describe that, and I'm happy to share real numbers mm-hmm. here. We sold like about 430 copies through KDP.
Okay.
And that was through pre-sales. So one mm-hmm. of the other cool things about KDP is you can set it up so that people can order before published date, and then on published date, the book just shows up on everyone's device, mm-hmm. which is a pretty sweet setup, right? And that we were mirroring the same thing with our own platform for ebook and paperback, is if you place the order now, you save a few bucks. On launch day, everything ships. Mm-hmm. Good for marketing, good for building up that momentum, getting early reader responses. Basically lets you turn your launch into not just an event, but actually many events. Mm-hmm. So we had about 430, I think was the final number, sales in Kindle before we took it down, out of about 1,700 total book sales in the first 30 days. So was that about a quarter, something mm-hmm. like that? So proportionally, Amazon was still not making up the majority of our sales. So that is one important consideration in mm-hmm. this particular experience. But on launch day, which also happened to be my birthday, which during a pandemic, a fun way to celebrate your birthday is to launch book. Maybe do it, maybe don't. I don't know. On launch day, I start waking up to, you know, pictures of people posting the book, mm-hmm. you know, holding the physical book or taking a picture of their favorite page, which is just so cool. And I started getting notes from people saying, that's weird. This is the first Kindle book that I bought that I can't read on my Kindle. And I was like, say what? Like, what is that about? And I started doing a little bit of homework and quickly found out that the process that I followed to upload my book to KDP mm-hmm. had inadvertently made the book not work on basically all of the Kindle e-ink devices. So like the Paperwhite, which is like, I think their flagship, maybe not. I don't know mm-hmm. if they think it's like, they're wildly popular. Like people think of Kindle, they think of the e-ink yeah. device.
It looks actually like almost like a piece of paper, a digital piece of paper. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's got the really great battery life. You never have to charge it, those kinds of things. Mm-hmm. So what I didn't know was there are technically two kinds of books that you can upload to Amazon. There is what they call a fixed layout book mm-hmm. and a reflowable book. And one of the things that people love about the Kindle in particular, apart from that e-ink interface, is also the ability to change the font size, increase the font size if you've got eyesight issues. Like, it's a great accessibility tool. Mm-hmm. In order for that to work completely, your book needs to be reflowable. And what reflowable basically means is sort of like if you've ever changed the font size in a Google Doc or a Word doc, you know how it just like changes how many mm-hmm. words are on the page. It's the same thing. In fact, in talking to Kindle support, they recommend the best way to self-publish your book on for the Kindle is to upload a Word doc. That's mm-hmm. their number one recommendation. The other option, a perhaps lesser known choice, is called fixed layout. And this is popular for children's books and comic books in particular, because mm-hmm. what it lets you do is upload a more graphical page layout, a PDF specifically, which I had because our book was designed without seeing the book. This is kind of tough to explain. Actually, since this will be a video for anyone who is watching,
yeah.
I can show you, you know, the pages, it doesn't mm-hmm. look like a normal book. The pages almost look like post-it notes on a yeah. page. And so a reflowable version of this, kind of weird.
Yeah.
We want one idea per page. That's very much on purpose. So I made the decision. I felt like the best experience was the book as it was intended. And I tested outside of KDP, sending the PDF directly to my Iona Kindle sitting right here. Right. Mm-hmm. So I sent the PDF and it displayed perfectly. It looked awesome. If you want to zoom in, you can pinch and zoom. And that worked surprisingly well. And I was like, okay, cool. So the PDF will work. I can upload the PDF and the conversion of a PDF into the file that you can actually upload to KDP. All of these acronyms is so confusing. So I'm sorry to anybody who's trying to follow along. Convert a PDF into a special file that you upload to Amazon. And I do that using an official tool that's created and operated by Amazon called Kindle Create. Mm-hmm. I click a couple of buttons. I upload the file. It detects the table of contents and it detects clickable things. And like, it's to my eyes working. Mm-hmm. And I can upload that file to Kindle, set my seller category, set my price, set country availability if I want, a title, description, all that stuff, hit make available. That's what I did. And again, as far as I could tell, everything was working. Mm-hmm. What I didn't know is that if you choose that fixed layout version for comic books, children's books, and my book, as it were, based on a PDF, mm-hmm. Kindle doesn't deliver that to the Kindle devices. It does deliver it to the Kindle Fire tablets. Mm-hmm. And if you run the Kindle app on your computer, on your iPhone or Android or tablet, mm-hmm. that opens it perfectly. Works basically exactly as I would have expected. But the official Kindle TM hardware mm-hmm. just said, file can't download. And even the error was not, it made it look like there was just a delivery error, yeah. not like it was just vague and weird, which is, you know, on launch day for a book that 400 some odd people have bought and are excited to get, that sucks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I discover that and I'm like, oh shit. Well, good news is I have the Mobi files, the reflowable files. I had them professionally created. So I go to upload those in the replacement. And I'm like, all right, well, if I upload that, maybe it'll deliver that one instead. Mm-hmm. And I get a new error. And the new error says, once you've created a book with a fixed layout, you can't replace it with a reflowable file. Mm. Which, okay. Like, let's say there's a good reason for that, technically or otherwise. What made me upset and what led me to write the article was, there were multiple steps along this path that Amazon's own software could have told me, hey, you're about to make a choice that will make this big red box not work on these devices. Mm-hmm. Also, if you make that choice, it is not reversible. Mm. So I get on the phone with Amazon Kindle's, the KDP publishing support, and explain my situation many times in a row. And each time I'm told facts, which are, you need a reflowable book if you want it to work on all devices. I understand that. That's not what happened. I'm trying to upload the file. It won't allow me to upload it because of the choice I made. They go, yes, that's, you can only create a new book. And I go, okay, but why? Like, what do we do for the 430 people that pre-ordered this book? Can we send them a message and say, hey, if your book's not working, go buy the other version? Is there something we can do to provide a positive customer experience for people mm-hmm. who are currently not able to read the book the way they expected to? And they basically told me, if the customer wants to write in and complain or request a refund, they can. But as a seller, there's nothing you can do. And that was when I decided to write the blog post, because this is not about the file formats. This mm-hmm. was, it was really about two things. It was about a UX issue. Mm-hmm. There were multiple opportunities for, there was a banner in Kate. I've now gone back and this is again, screenshotted in the article. There's a green box that says that this format will work only on these devices, which is like, okay, that's like a kind of confusing message. Mm-hmm. But given that there are devices that it will not work on, in my opinion, that should have been a very big warning banner.
Yeah.
Hey, even something with a specific confirmation. Are you sure you want to do this? Mm-hmm. Potentially alienating a large portion of our Amazon's customers. Mm-hmm. And so that's problem number one. Avoidable at basically every step of the way. And then, you know, not just the creating the file, but also uploading it. Hey, you're uploading this file. You know that it's a fixed layout. And if you publish with this, it's not, you can't go back to reflowable. If you mm-hmm. want, you have to make that choice now. So two opportunities to stop me from hurting myself. But the bigger issue was the attitude they took towards the customer experience, which Amazon being a company that prides itself, you know, their tagline is we are the most customer centric company in the world. Mm-hmm. This to me was proof positive, like only if it's in your interest, which right yeah. now, you know, the fact that even with an escalation to senior folks in this KDP department, you know, even with that escalation, they're like, this is our policy. Mm-hmm. And at that point I was like, all right, there's 430 people who I can't help. I don't want more of them. Right, because my options are, I upload a second copy of the book with the reflowable thing that mm-hmm. still doesn't help those 430 customers. We have a potentially confusing issue with multiple versions of the book. How do I message which version works on which device? Kind of can't. Mm-hmm. Amazon kind of, it's on the page, but it is not, you won't see it unless you know you're looking for it. And again, all of that to, you know, now I'm in this space where the trade-offs for giving up the ownership over of the customer is starting to be eaten away.
Mm-hmm.
And it sort of pushed me over the boundary where I was like, it's a bad situation. I don't want to make it worse. I don't have a way of making it better. Amazon is telling me they don't want to make it better. The easiest option today mm-hmm. is the nuclear option, which is the book is no longer available for new customers. Past customers mm-hmm. can access it. And the way I set up the messaging on our website, if somebody gets that error, they Google the book.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now they're going to find my website instead of Amazon. Mm-hmm. There's a big banner at the top that says, hey, if you bought this for Kindle and are having an error, I'm really sorry. Email me, no questions asked. I'm sending you the files directly so you can load them on whatever device you want. You own them. They are DRM free. Mm-hmm. They're yours forever. That is how it was expected. I've fulfilled 30 of those maybe,
mm-hmm.
which means that there are still 400 people. And granted, some people could read the book on their preferred device because their preferred device is an iPad with
mm-hmm.
the Kindle app. I have no idea how many people got that error, thought their Wi-Fi was down or Kindle was acting up, and now they're maybe never going to read the book.
Where they're sitting there cursing your name, not Amazon's, but your name. Damn, you know, that Alex Hillman.
I have moments of that concern, although I spoke to enough people who said that when they saw the error, they assumed it was Kindle's fault. They never associated the problem with me. So
that's
I don't worry so much about that.
Yeah.
What I do worry about it, and again, this is not even about the $8 per copy. Like
mm-hmm.
in the grand scheme of the sale, Amazon was still the minority. What made me frustrated is knowing that people bought this book. And I made this book because I wanted it to help people. There are people who bought this book who it could help
mm-hmm.
that were prepared to read it, excited to read it. And now because the world is as distracting as it ever was, will forget that they bought this book, maybe mm-hmm. never read it. And that was an avoidable situation. Interesting plot twist, since you and I scheduled our time together.
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday morning, I got a voicemail from Amazon's public relations department. I have now been playing tag with their
mm-hmm.
Phone tag with their PR department. So I don't know where this goes. So there may be a chapter two to our conversation, Brian. And you know, on one hand, my hope, it's frustrating that you have to write a blog post that in my case was longer than the book itself to get their attention. Right.
Yeah.
But that's in some cases, the world that we live in. My hope, like I said, I don't know if I'm going to put our book on Amazon. We have other products. My partner, I mentioned her book, which is about creating creative projects and actually mm-hmm. finishing them. It's called Just Fucking Ship. Leave that if you need to.
That's fine.
We don't have to worry about the FCC on this one. We've been talking for a long time about a second edition of JFS and doing it through KDP. And so when all this went down and I made the call and, you know, messaging with Amy, and she's like, I'm most bummed because I was really excited to see what would happen if we put JFS on KDP. So maybe we do in the future, maybe we don't. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't know. But I think that the lesson in here for me is like, when you don't own the customer, you mm-hmm. also don't own the customer service experience.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, that was the deal breaker more than anything else.
Yeah.
And if it's not the number one priority, it's easily one of the top three.
Yeah. Well, I guess, and this is a good takeaway for a lot of independent authors, in that when you go through traditional publishing, and I'm not advocating one over the other, I think indie publishing is amazing, the same way that, Napster, and I'm not going to give iTunes the credit for, I'm going to give Napster the credit for revolutionizing music sharing and having a lot of independent acts get their, you know, this is sort of the same thing. There's a way for you to get your stuff out and not go the traditional route. But if you work through a traditional publisher, you just write, and there's marketing expectations. Let's be honest here. If you don't have any kind of social following or email following, a lot of publishers aren't going to want to hear from you because they want to know how you're going to help market the book. But this becomes their problem. If Amazon's screwing up, and Orbit Books, they're publishers of The Expanse, you know, they decide, well, hang on a second, we have a problem with this. They've got some weight behind them to go to Amazon and say, fix this, as opposed to independent author. But in either case, it sounds like a big takeaway is, one, you have to have a platform. If you want to sell the book, listen, if you just want to write, There's nothing wrong with that. Put it out there in the
total
wild.
Respect.
But if your intention is to make some money or make a living off of this, it sounds like if you're not going to go trad publishing, you have to own the process, and you're going to have to wear your marketing hat, and you're going to have a platform and be aware of what you're giving up by going through Amazon versus selling through your own site or any number of other, I'm sure there's other self-publishing sites that are out there, but it seems like you always got to make sure you're reading the fine print and making sure you understand what are the trade-offs whenever you're letting someone else take over a job for you.
And you know, I had a couple of people push back and say, like, you know, you didn't do your research. It was right there. You know, it was in the fine print. You got to read it. And I was like, I did. And honestly, if that's the part you're focused on, like, I think you're missing the whole point.
Mm-hmm.
Because again, the point is not about the file format compatibility. Mm-hmm. Like that is an inciting incident,
mm-hmm.
right? And yeah. an avoidable one for the future, right? Now that I know it, I wouldn't do it again. I would make those, like, that's a learnable moment. And like, that kind of mistake is not the reason, mm-hmm. in my opinion, to take it off of Amazon. That's not the problem. The problem was the outright refusal to support 400 plus customers
mm-hmm.
with the interest of potentially many more. And again, the upside here is I keep it on the platform, and there's upside for Amazon and upside for me, mm-hmm. right? So, you know, there's trade-offs. You know, there's a lot of ways to look at this, and there's some interesting parallels to if anyone, I don't know if anyone in the author space would be following along, but there's been some interesting stories in the space around other marketplaces. The company 37 Signals, actually the company's Basecamp now,
yeah.
launched a new email product that included an iOS app that was in the Apple App Store. There was a big issue on their launch day
mm-hmm.
with publishing an update that did not meet the App Store requirements in a kind of fuzzy way. That was unfortunately had to be resolved in a kind of public fashion. Mm-hmm. The big one recently was with, is it Epic Games that does Fortnite?
I think so, yeah.
But so basically Fortnite is no longer on the App Store because mm-hmm. they kind of admittedly kind of aggressively to make a point that Apple, yeah. it's all the same at this point. If they own that relationship and we say that's okay, mm-hmm. we need to be aware of what the trade-offs are. And so they're turning that into a massive, you know, potentially an antitrust issue. So this is like, those stories are more about the platform being the bully. And I mm-hmm. don't really think that's what was happening here. And that was not my point of writing the article.
Mm-hmm.
Amazon has a policy that I in some ways understand,
mm-hmm.
but the trade-off of that policy got me to a point where if I stay on the platform, the problem has too much potential to become a bigger problem
mm-hmm.
that is, you know, still not in my control mm-hmm. to solve in the ways that I would want to for our customers. So until there is an alternative, you know, a hidden option C here, I'm stuck between staying on the platform with the trade-offs mm-hmm. or removing the book going forward for the foreseeable future, and made the call to do the second one.
There we go. Well, in the interest of time, because I know you're a busy guy, where can people find you on social, and where can they buy if they wanted to buy the Tiny MBA?
I would love it if folks did buy the Tiny MBA, especially if you were interested in businessy stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, I think this is a book that I've been told is useful, whether you're brand new, getting into freelancing or something like, if you're a freelance writer or you mm-hmm. wanted to get into freelance writing, I think people would find this really useful. If you're a seasoned business person and sort of want to get back to some roots, I think there's something in it for you. The book is at tiny.mba. That's the whole website, or you can Google Tiny MBA. If you want to follow me on social media, Twitter is my home. It's where this book started. Alex Hillman on Twitter.
There you go. And if you ever are in Philly, absolutely. If you get an opportunity, check out Indy Hall. It's a fantastic, cause you guys moved, right? You guys are now actually right at 3rd and Market.
We're at Fourth and Market now.
Fourth and Market, that's right. Yeah.
Hopefully, by the time people are traveling to Philadelphia, we are no longer in a pandemic. And yes. It's currently physically closed. But in the future, when that is not the case, if you're coming through town, I'd love to stray around, welcome you to the neighborhood. One of my favorite things is connecting people to Philadelphia. If you're thinking about moving to Philadelphia, it's a great place.
We love
getting people, helping people land here. So reach out on Twitter. That's one of the best places to get a hold of me.
Awesome. Alex, thank you very much for your time.
Thanks for having me.